This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. It is time for Popit Popit Parliament. And I will start off by saying, happy to report that all things considered, today's session was quite mild, quite measured, with very little by way of kerfuffles and hoo-has.
Yes, it was practically all meat and potatoes, really, during the Q&A today, starting with vaccination rates for the Orang Asli community. So Cameron Highlands MP Ramli Mohammad Noor asked about measures to ensure that Orang Asli were not left behind in the national immunization program. And Deputy Minister for Rural Development, Abdul Rahman Mohammad, responded with the percentage of Orang Asli who had been vaccinated. But more importantly, he also announced plans to deploy single-dose vaccines for the sole purpose of vaccinating members of the Orang Asli population who haven't yet been vaccinated.
Berita baiknya, bermula bulan ini, vaksin jenis CanSino yang hanya memerlukan satu dos lengkap mula dibekalkan kepada masyarakat Orang Asli dan dijangka akan mempercepatkan lagi kadar vaksinasi Orang Asli di seluruh negara, terutamanya bagi penempatan yang terletak di kawasan pedalaman. Atas berkat usaha yang dinyatakan jumlah terkini masyarakat Orang Asli yang telah menerima vaksin adalah seramai 82,555 orang daripada jumlah keseluruhan orang asli yang sepatutnya divaksinkan seluruh negara 144,180 orang. Kadar vaksinasi harian orang asli terkini menunjukkan tren penambahan yang sangat baik pada setiap hari. Dan pihak KPLB akan turut bekerjasama dengan agensi strategik lain yang mempercepatkan proses vaksinasi masyarakat Orang Asli. Saya juga percaya penggunaan optimum aset-aset kerajaan seperti helikopter, bot-bot ke kawasan-kawasan pedalaman Orang Asli akan dapat kita tingkatkan kadar vaksinasi ini.
That was Deputy Minister for Rural Development, Abdul Rahman Mohammad, reporting that 57% of the adult Orang Asli population have been vaccinated so far. He also spoke about how they would be utilizing government assets like helicopters and boats to access some of the more remote Orang Asli settlements.
Now, moving on to the issue of excessive waiting times for medical care in public hospitals, this came from Rusna Aluai, who is the MP for Tangga Batu. She wanted to know why some patients have to wait months, sometimes years, to receive specialist care. So Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin acknowledged that this comes from a lack of specialist doctors. At the moment, there are only 13,000 specialists, and this is including those who are in the private sector.
Sebenarnya sekarang ini kita tidak kekurangan doktor siswazah. Tetapi apa yang kita perlukan sekarang ini adalah keperluan pakar. Pakar yang sedia ada dalam Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia adalah 6,183 pada tahun 2019. Sekarang ini keseluruhan campur dengan swasta kurang lebih 13,000. Keperluan kita untuk tahun 2030 adalah 28,000. Sebab itulah ini yang menjadi antara masalah waktu waiting time, menunggu untuk jumpa pakar. Sebab itu kita perlu mengoptimumkan bukan hanya kemudahan yang sedia ada supaya kita dapat mengurangkan waktu menunggu untuk jumpa dengan pakar, tetapi juga kita harus, Kementerian Kewangan harus memberi komitmen supaya kita dapat melatih doktor-doktor ini supaya menjadi pakar untuk memenuhi keperluan kita 10 tahun akan datang, yang mana disease burden kita akan meningkat disebabkan masyarakat yang semakin menua di Malaysia dan juga insiden NCD yang semakin tinggi, iaitu masalah-masalah jangkitan ataupun penyakit tidak berjangkit. Dan ini akan memerlukan jumlah pakar yang tinggi yang perlu kita latih daripada sekarang.
Khairi also said that they've established a special task force to work on short and long-term solutions for contract doctors. This includes contract doctors being able to apply for federal scholarships to pursue specialist training. He hopes that this strategy will produce more specialist doctors while also resolving the long-standing issues that contract doctors have had around career progression within the public sector, which of course we've been hearing a lot about, especially in the last year.
Yeah, and we've also actually heard Khairi Jamaluddin, as the Minister of Health, talking about plans or acknowledging the issue and saying that it's something that the ministry wants to look into. Would be curious to know, I mean, based on this, What are you hoping to see from the task force? Again, this is a task force that is supposed to work on short and long-term solutions for contract doctors. If you have ideas for what you'd like them to pursue or what you think would work to create more specialists, but also ensure that we are safeguarding our contract doctors, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on to some other brief mentions. The issue of fake vaccine certificates came up. Deputy Health Minister Dato' Aaron Agodagang says that they're looking into the reports of doctors who have been forging vaccine certificates for willing buyers. He also said the Health Ministry and the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation are considering the use of digital signatures to prevent the falsification of vaccine certificates.
And in sports, MOA MP Syed Saddiq implored the Youth and Sports Ministry to prioritise the reopening of gyms, as well as other sports that are typically viewed as entertainment, such as bowling. So the Minister of Youth and Sports, Ahmad Faizal Azumu, assured that they are working closely with the Health Ministry to refine SOPs for these and that they will be allowed to operate in due time.
So again, I think this is another one you can let us know. Do you think that gyms are ready to reopen? Would you like to see bowling alleys reopen? Again, you can, of course, call, WhatsApp and tweet us. Now, following on from that, there were also discussions on psychosocial helplines, which includes Talian Kase, as well as helplines run by NGOs like Mercy. Again, the Deputy Health Minister reported a significant increase in the number of calls. To compare, in 2020, these hotlines received a total of 44,000 calls. In 2021, that number is already at 166,869, which is an almost fourfold increase, and only 956, or 0.4% of those calls, were then referred on to psychiatrists for intervention.
Segambut MP Hannah Yeo then asked about how the Health Ministry was coordinating efforts with helplines and other agencies to ensure that those who do call in with serious mental health concerns are not left by the wayside. Here's a clip of what proved to be a rather frustrating exchange.
Sekarang ini ada peningkatan banyak kes seperti ini, tetapi apabila rakyat telefon Talian Kasih, Talian Kasih akan hantar JKM ke tapak, JKM akan lihat ini kes kesihatan mental, mereka biarkan kerana mereka kata bukan bidang kuasa mereka. Jadi apakah tindakan KKM untuk mengkoordinasikan ini? Terima kasih.
Sila, Timbalan Menteri.
Terima kasih, Ibu Mat. Dalam talian bantuan sokongan psikososial ini, kita melibatkan banyak agensi dan NGO. Dan apabila kita membuat analisis dan kita akan forwardkan masalah-masalah itu, kalau dari segi penderaan, sempena penderaan atau keganasan, ada penjagaan kanak-kanak, itu masalah itu kita forward kepada the Women's AIDS Organization. Kalau dari segi mental, of course kita akan forward kepada Kementerian Kesihatan dan sebagainya. Jadi itulah yang kita telah...
Tuan Speaker, soalan saya belum dijawab kerana saya tanya KKM bagaimana KKM mengendalikan kes itu, tetapi Timbalan Menteri kata mereka forward kepada KKM. So saya tak faham apa usaha yang dilakukan selepas menerima panggilan.
Ya, Timbalan Menteri. Kita buat analisis. Kalau dikatakan based on the punya call itu, kalau itu anything to do with keganasan, kita akan forward kepada Women's Aid ataupun penjagaan kanak-kanak. Kalau mental, of course kita akan pergi ke hospital dan counseling. Kita buat counseling. 82% adalah memerlukan counseling. Sekarang kita mempunyai target, kita adalah at least one daerah, kita ada one pakar psikologis untuk mengendalikan kes ini.
Kulai MP Tioni Ching and Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato then tried to initiate follow-up questions, and then that was actually initially denied by Deputy Speaker Rashid Hasnun. Here's a little bit of that back and forth.
Kesihatan mental penting. Itu isu yang penting, Datuk Speaker.
Datuk Speaker,
janganlah.
Isu sangat penting.
Ya, kenapa isu sukan boleh ada soalan tambahan kedua, ketiga, kerana isu mental ini tak boleh. Minta ini satu soalan tambahan lagi.
Masalah boleh, tak boleh. Saya ada peraturan saya.
Boleh ya, tadi bagi ini, kan kemana, sekarang tak boleh izinkan.
Ini ikut budi bicara Datuk Speaker. Ya, kalau Datuk Speaker panjang, boleh benarkan.
Ini satu je, lagi luang kepada wanita. Terima kasih.
Datuk Speaker, sedikit.
Terima kasih.
Satu lagi, Datuk Speaker.
Okay, so the Deputy Speaker eventually relented and gave the floor to Ni Ching, who asked about the Health Deputy Minister's stance on the decriminalisation of suicide. Here's his response.
Memanglah kalau ikut akta dulu, cubaan bunuh diri atau bunuh diri ini adalah satu kesalahan kriminal. Tapi sekarang ini, baru-baru ini, I think understanding daripada semua-semua menteri adalah untuk to not discriminalize keadaan ini. Jadi pindaan akta itu masih dalam understanding dengan Attorney General, dan saya fahamkan ianya akan bawa kepada kabinet untuk not to discriminalize mereka yang cuba bunuh diri atau membunuh diri. Kalau bunuh diri sudah matilah. Jadi kes memang kita tahu meningkat slightly, only dalam 2% dari last year kepada this year, baru naik 2% dalam 600 kepada 600 lebih saja.
So you just heard Deputy Health Minister Aaron Ano Dagang saying that ministers have agreed that suicide shouldn't be, I think he meant criminalized, and that the amendments to the Act are being studied by the Attorney General.
And finally, a quick one from Pengerang MP Datuk Sri Azlina Othman, who was first up to debate the King's Speech. So she brought up the private members' bill that she had submitted on recall elections, urging for it to be fast-tracked. She also prepared a pantun that she dedicated to some of her fellow MPs.
Transformasi pentadbiran yang dicadangkan oleh kerajaan dengan wujudnya rang undang-undang Akta Lompat Parti wajib dan wajar dilakukan secepat mungkin. Bukannya apa? Sebab kalau katak tu nak lompat, dia tak ikut masa tu yang dia betul. Siang pagi, malam petang. Itu sebabnya saya nak bagi sedikit pantun pada semua katak-katak yang lompat. Lompat si katak lompat. Lompat di dalam perigi. Lompat jangan tak lompat. Nanti tak sempat menjadi.
That was Pengerang MP Azlina Othman emphasizing the importance of pushing through anti-hopping laws in the form of poetry, as one does in the halls of parliament. And that is all we have for today. As promised, quite a busy day. I think we spoke earlier about... We spoke yesterday about wanting to see more substantial conversations happening in parliament. So good to see that that's going on and that parliament's actually running, you know, with some productivity.
As it should be, as it to should a certain be. Extent.
Yes, in a productive manner was what I was going to say. But a wide-ranging number of topics today. So there was a discussion there about whether or not enough mental health support, or perhaps more importantly, action after people call for mental health support, whether enough is being done there. Promises from the health ministry to look into the issue of contract doctors, a call for the Minister of Youth and Sports to reopen sporting sectors like gyms and bowling, as well as anti-hopping laws. If you have thoughts on any of those things, if you have suggestions for how we can do better at mental health support, for example, or do more for contract doctors, that number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.